The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
To the Fire Breslow podcast presented by the Bastards of Boston Baseball. Welcome into the show. Trade deadline special. Trade deadline has come and gone. Red Sox make three official moves today, but obviously highlighted by the biggest one of all, Red Sox landing Adley Rutschman from the Baltimore Orioles in a five-player swap. I am your host, Jason Kelly. I've got Charlie, Doug, and Terry alongside. Pretty big day, fellas. Three trades, two of them a little bit more minor, but obviously Adley Rutschman is now a Boston Red Sox. Lots of names going out the door, a few more coming in. Charlie, I'm going to put you in the leadoff spot here. Your reaction to the Adley Rutschman trade, because that was the biggest hammer to drop today.
I'm going to say that when it was kind of breathtaking, honestly, because it was, okay, it's in. We're waiting for the medical to go through. John Henry still has to approve it. So still, I mean, being a podcaster for the Boston Red Sox, there's a 50% chance that actually doesn't go through. And we're sitting here, you know, with our pants down, and it's not a fun situation. Finally, the trade goes through. A lot of people deem it to be an overpay. At the end of the day, some of these guys, you really don't know what's going to end up happening to them. You can't hold on to all of your prospects. And for the first time, you're really starting to see Breslow just completely unload in his best Dave Dombrowski impression. We're just going to get rid of whatever we need to get rid of in order to get a really good bat. And Rutschman is a good catcher. He's a switch hitting catcher. At the end of the day, I really don't know when we were going to see Witherspoon, when Azucar was going to come up, when Ianson was going to come up. Narvaez has not really been an answer this year. So automatically, massive improvement behind the plate. I totally trust him. And if there's an option to upgrade at a position of need, you did it. And you got rid of players that were not going to be seeing any playing time in Boston in 2026 or 2027. And you got rid of Narvaez because, well, you took one of their catchers. So here's our backup catcher. So I'm actually really happy about the move. The Boston Red Sox, I mean, I want to pose this question to you guys once all of us have had a chance, but I want to ask you guys as well, like, do you think the Boston Red Sox are sexy again? Because I'm starting to get warm and fuzzy, which is first time in a long time, even with our 15-game win streak. But I'll shut up. Go to Dougie next.
Yeah, I love the trade. I'm not big on these, having to keep every prospect. And I'm also not, under the influence that if these kids turn out to be good, that it's a colossal loss of a trade. Like, you got to take risks to get better. You can't trade bums to get good players. It's just how it works. You got to, if you really want to trade, for a star, all-star player, you got to give up guys that people want, and that's prospects. And, one of these guys, was what's like in the top 150 prospects. It's like, all right, I'm not concerned about that at all. That doesn't mean anything to me. If you're in the top 10, top 20, we can talk like maybe that, but these guys that are like, oh, he's in the top 100. It's like, all right, that's fine. See you later. I don't think twice about that. I really don't. And, you bring in a three-time all-star that's still in his 20s and you put him at a position that's been our weak position for a long time. And, I remember last year, going into the season, catcher was a huge talking point about what they're going to do with catcher. And Narvaez turned out to have a great season. And then it turned out to be, maybe that was the best he's been because he was horrible this year. So he had a really good rookie year last year. People kind of forgot about the catcher position, and then it showed again this year that we desperately needed one. And now you put one of the better ones in the league. He was the number one pick in the draft. He didn't turn out maybe as people really wanted him to, but he's a huge upgrade from what we have, and we're better today than we were yesterday without him.
So the trade was not insignificant, but I feel like it really failed to live up to the hype of everything we were getting over the past week from Red Sox beat writers, from the Ken Rosenthals, from the Jeff Passans, all those guys. I think it kind of missed. It did not meet the hype. I tweeted out, I don't know, a week and a half ago, you know, the three biggest bats we've ever acquired this century in the John Henry era, dating back, I think, to 2002. Number one is obviously Kyle Schwarber. Number two, I think, is Jason Bay. Number three, it could be a number of guys. You know, you've got a 3A, 3B, 3C type situation with Eduardo Nunez, Victor Martinez. I know there was one other guy. I think that's the group that Adley Rutschman is in. I don't think he's certainly not Kyle Schwarber. I don't think we could have imagined Jason Bay making the impact that he made, but it was a massive one. And so you want to go, Charlie? I'm like one person through my take here. It's, somebody's got a thing going too, like in their background, but anyway, I think it falls short, you know, a little bit. And catcher, there was a lot of talk in the war room. I'd love to have Langeliers. I'd love to have this guy. I'd love to have that guy. I think Rutschman's name was brought up, and that really wasn't a position that I thought was super critical. You know, it's not our best position, but we're kind of used to not having a stud catcher. I think defensively, Wong and Narvaez were very good. I think Wong had some big spots throughout that streak. And, you know, I look at the middle infield and it's a mess. Left field is a mess. Not only did we not get rid of Jaron Duran, but we added Eli White for no reason. Like, that guy sucks. His save on chart is as blue as the Pacific Ocean. He's a defensive replacement. That's all he is. But we got him, and somehow he's going to fit into the logjam. And all week long, we heard about, we need a shortstop, we need a shortstop, we need a shortstop. We didn't get one. Perhaps Jason got his way with Arias being in there, you know, at some point. You know, I don't know if that's days from now, weeks from now, halfway through September. He'll come up. We just don't know when. He just got the AAA. So I don't know. Like I said, it's not insignificant. It's by far the best bat he's ever gotten in the month of I say July, usually we're in August now, but at the deadline, it's the biggest bat he's gotten. So we'll see what happens. He is on the injured list. He's been on it three times this year. He's had a concussion issue. His power numbers are down. What is still robust is he's still a high on base guy. He draws a lot of walks. He's not going to be, you know, he's not a free swinger at the plate. He's not going to be chasing junk. So that's all good. But you know, I think this team, with the run they've been on, I think the bar should have been set a little bit higher. Or they should have added more. There should have been another bat in there. And Jason kind of teased me a couple days ago. Randy Arozarena was available. I looked at his metrics expecting them not to be super great anymore. And he's still a very good player. And I was hoping maybe something sneaky like that would happen in the last hour or two. Didn't happen. Eli White happened. So anyway, I gave his performance a C. I think I gave him the lowest grade of everyone. And that's how I feel about it.
Yeah, I think in terms of a grade, I'm just going to go straight B for this one. I think the issue with the Rutschman trade, what kind of makes it less exciting, is that the guy's been hurt, you know, most of the year. So it's not like you're getting that immediate impact because he's still, you know, he still has to go on a rehab assignment. Now, hopefully that's going to happen soon, but he's got to meet with the Red Sox doctors, get his wrist looked at, and then they'll determine from there. So it kind of takes away from the excitement of it, just knowing that he's not going to be in the lineup tomorrow, right? It's going to be probably another week or two before you actually see him. You know, I think that's why they picked up Jake Rogers as part of that trade as well, because they need someone to play catcher along with Connor Wong. But in terms of the who he sent out, I mean, people are harping on the fact that, oh, you keep giving up first-round picks. And look, Breslow has been doing that. He's now traded away four of your former first-round picks between the Crochet trade and this one. So, you know, Witherspoon, Meyer, who we'll talk about in a little bit, and then obviously, you know, Montgomery and Kyle Teal. All former first-round picks that he sent out the door. And look, Kyle Teal, when he's healthy, looks like the real deal. You know, Montgomery, we'll see. He's still very young. He's not getting, you know, a ton of at-bats over there in Chicago, but could be really good. So for all the first-round picks that you would lament giving up, I can give you a list of guys that, you know, former first-rounders from the Red Sox that would make you laugh. I mean, guys like Trey Ball, guys like, you know, Lars Anderson, Michael Chavis. I mean, just because they're a former first-round pick does not mean they're going to become a bona fide superstar. And that's why I didn't mind it. I think giving up five players for one is a lot. But I also think both things can be true. You can say that it was a lot to give up. And you could also say, you know what, Adley Rutschman, when he's healthy and he's on, he's a really good player. And he is a foundational type of player. And, you know, maybe he's a guy that needs a change of scenery. I mean, Baltimore is all in on this Samuel Basayo kid. They signed him to a, you know, I think 7 or 8 year deal, like, it's, you know, after just a handful of at bats. So he probably saw he heard the footsteps coming. Basayo is their catcher of the future. So I, you know, Rutschman probably knew that, okay, I'm getting phased out here. Then he started to get injured. You know, it's just, he's had a frustrating season and a half. If he gets healthy and goes back to what he was when he first came up, you now have a foundational piece at catcher that you can start to really build around. He's still under 30. He's a switch hitter. Is he going to hit for a ton of power? Probably not. But, you know, as you guys pointed out, he's good at getting on base. He doesn't strike out. And you look at, you know, his Savant page and his fielding numbers, he's one of the best defensive catchers in baseball when he's back there. And there's a lot of value in that. So at first I looked at the return. I was like, oof, because I mentioned last week, I didn't really want to see guys like Anthony Einson being traded. And of course, you know, he was part of the deal. I think he was your number three prospect going into this deal. But, you know, you look at the other guys, Kyson Witherspoon has been all over the place. His numbers don't look good. I think they're trying to fiddle with his mechanics, or there's rumors that he fiddled with his own mechanics and got worse. So, you know, that's someone that I'm not too worried about giving up right now. You know, you sent Narvaez back in the deal. I think that's another guy that just you kind of had to ship out at this point. I don't know what happened to him, but he's gone completely backwards from where he was last year. So ultimately, I look at the trade. I'm like, I'm good with it. You know, I want to see Rutschman on the field as soon as possible. And I want to see, you know, is he fully healthy? Can he get back to what he was? But I'm not shedding any tears over giving up that many prospects. You did it for Garrett Crochet. And apart from this year, that's worked out really well. You have to give something to get something. And if you want to say it's underwhelming because it wasn't a middle infield bat, I agree. My guess is what happened with guys like CJ Abrams and Zach Nato and all those rumors is that all those teams said Roman Anthony's got to be in the deal. That's what I'm guessing happened, because I agree. I think Craig may have missed the boat on getting a middle infielder, but I think those prices skyrocketed because, you know what? No one else traded for them either. So I think those asking prices got insane. So you got Rutschman, you got a nice reliever from the Giants. The Eli White trade, I don't pay much attention to. It kind of felt like a bit of an unnecessary move, but Tyler Uberstein is a Rule 5 guy. So you're going to lose him in the Rule 5 next year anyway. Eli White is just another Nate Eaton. He's a speed demon and he's good defensively. Like, okay, fine. You know, if he gives you a little something, Tyler Uberstein was not part of your future. So I'm good with that. So ultimately, yeah, I think solid B. I think the team got better. Your farm system got a little worse, but that's usually how trade deadlines go. So ultimately, I'm okay with it.
I think, all right, so Terry, sorry, I didn't mean to jump your bones 6 seconds into your take. You're totally right. So a couple things. I think both can be right. I also gave this a B, right? And we're really not going to know just what was going to be the case with Curtis Meade. He's done, possibly for the year. We don't really know, right? Maybe that would have been a little bit better. You didn't get a shortstop. You're right. You did, however, get a very good catcher who, when he's on, you're a lot better of a team. Uberstein, not a part of your future. Witherspoon, not a part of your immediate future. In order to get better, like you gents already said, you have to give something to get something. And I am curious to know what the asking price was for Abrams. The fact that he's still wearing a Nationals uniform, though, does tell you that they wanted a King's ransom. Something insane that probably would have included Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer, Witherspoon, Azucar, whomever, seven or eight guys, because Abrams is literally out of his mind good this year. That's the fact. I you know, you guys already touched up on the outfielder. There's not much to say. Uberstein, Rule 5 guy, not a part of the long-term picture. We'll see what happens. He's 32 years old. But Adley Rutschman is on the right side of 30. We can have a reason now to be a little bit excited. I would have been really happy if we got, you know, one more starting pitcher, because if you add one more arm, my mindset is, okay, I'm good if you shelve Peyton Tolley right now, because that is going to be a different conversation that we have in the, you know, pretty immediate future here, because he's already exceeded his total innings work in 1 year in his career. In the 80s a couple times, in the 90s a couple times, now we're past 100. That, to me, was a little bit more of a pressing matter, because Andrew Monasterio's doing okay. Is he C.J. Abrams? No, he's not, but he's doing his job. Guys, we just swept the Los Angeles Dodgers, a team that just got even richer. They just got Tarik Skubal. They got Chris Bubik, or Bubic. I don't know how to say his name, whatever. The fact of the matter is, with what we have gotten better. And yes, you're right. When you get big pieces like Adley Rutschman, your farm system is going to take a bath. But you know what? I really don't know what 2027 is going to look like. I'd really like to continue cheering for this team in 2026. Adley Rutschman makes your team better. I get where you're coming from. I understand why you're frustrated that we didn't get a shortstop to deal with that need. Yes, but it's not to say that we didn't improve in other areas. I am curious to see how the Miller piece works as well. I think his fire is going to be interesting to watch. It's perfectly tailor-made for Boston. The energy is real. That's just the direction we're going in 2026. Those are the cards we were dealt. What if it was an overpay or not an overpay? We really won't know that for a couple of years.
I mean, yeah, I think you can always say it could be better, right? Unless you're trading for Tarik Skubal, then you can kind of always say, well, it could have been better. But, you know, I think we're better today than we are yesterday. And I think that's, you know, the goal. You know, maybe, you know, you can have other goals to get, you know, higher, better players. But the main goal, I think, is to get better. And I think we got better. And I think they, you know, got rid of Meyer, which I think, you know, we can talk about later. But I think that's, you know, that was a big goal of theirs. And I'm happy, you know, we've been waiting for Craig to, you know, we don't believe in him to make a big deal. And, you know, this isn't a mega deal, but it's a pretty big deal. It's a pretty significant deal for, you know, an all-star player. And, you know, I'm happy with it. I'm really happy with it. We're, you know, you said maybe his power numbers will be down. They'll still be a lot better than anything we've been getting from the catcher position in a long time. So I'm fine. You know, I'm fine with whatever he's going to give us. Obviously, you need to see him on the field. He needs to stay healthy, obviously. But, you know, when he does, it's going to show that, you know, we're a way better team with him behind the plate.
I think the housekeeping aspect of the team was really important. You know, just get rid of Duran. You know, this morning, this is a behind the scenes thing for the audience. You know, probably once every fifth or sixth week, we have a brouhaha about Rafi Devers for no reason in particular. And, you know, the term clubhouse cancer comes up and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, that's kind of how I see Duran. And, you know, maybe they tolerate it. Maybe they're like, well, he's an emotional kid and he's been through a lot. And, you know, and that's why he acts that way. But I just don't think he's a necessary guy, even in the background of a team that's kind of teasing us as far as a deep playoff run. That's just an easy subtraction to do. And you've got a number of ways to address that, you know, as far as replacing him. And then hopefully eventually Roman Anthony comes back and he's a part of this 2026 picture. But that should have happened. You know, I look at Rutschman being banged up and I'm like, man, they could have probably moved on from Yoshida and maybe Rutschman just ends up being a DH for the rest of the year. I can't remember if it was the regular war room or my Facebook group, but someone pointed out that the arbitration guys, the arbitration guys basically get paused and whatever control they have stays with the team through the strike. So for instance, Bryce Harper is going to lose a year of his deal because of the strike, but the team controlled guys through arbitration, apparently that might just be on pause. So where 2026 was Rushman's ARB 3 season, excuse me, 2027 would have been next year. That would have been his walk year. Apparently that'll be 2028 now if whoever was right. And that does seem to make sense. So, you know, maybe just create a DH spot for him for the rest of the year. And, you know, Narvaez is gone, but, you know, Wong can probably would have caught the majority of those games anyway. And I don't know if you call up Mickey Gasper or you pull someone off the scrap heap to be the backup catcher. But so I'm a little disappointed about that, you know, and then because we didn't get a shortstop, that does kind of leave the door open for Trevor Story. I mean, that's a buzzkill. Who wants that guy back? But it could happen. So that's kind of one of the disappointments here for not addressing the middle infield. I also tweeted out today, you know, if the Red Sox want to add an impact bat without giving up a massive trade package, you know, Devers was available, as I kind of brought up. Pete Alonso was available. Well, could have been available, possibly. Perhaps you could bail out the Orioles from that big contract. And then you get the guy we wanted all along. It'd almost be like the movie Draft Day. You know, you end up getting the guy you wanted. And then, you know, I don't know how realistic a Tatis deal would have been. I mean, the Padres were pretty active today in terms of buying. But yeah. And then the guy that I didn't put in that tweet, Francisco Lindor, I talked myself into him on whenever my last show was. It might have been, can't remember, it was Sunday or, you know. And the thing that kind of teased me about Lindor is he's going to be 33 later this year, and his exit velocity has never changed. His exit velo has stayed exactly the same his whole career. So, you know, maybe, you know, you're adding money. That's the trade-off. You're not giving up a big trade package, but you are adding salary. So those would have been some deals I would have preferred to go. And I think they would have better addressed our needs. But we'll see. Maybe Rutschman ends up having that Jason Bay effect. And one other thing before I forget, I don't know players' attitudes right now in the last few months in terms of extensions. I think Tarek Skubal will sign an extension because they're just going to throw the Brinks truck at him. You may as well. They'll make him an offer he can't refuse. And they'll do it so that the Dodgers, whatever the penalties are, I mean, I'm assuming they're going to be grandfathered. They can't MLB can't null and void the deals they've already signed. So why not get one more in, you know, before the CBA? And if it's a $400 million deal, I don't think Scooble's going to turn down that money and walk away from this dynasty. I don't know who the number three guy was on the 1990s Chicago Bulls. You know, it was Jordan Pippen and someone else. But imagine Rodman. Not. Was it Rodman? Okay.
That one of the later ones. The second
three
was Rodman. The first repeat, the third guy was Horace Grant, probably.
Oh, okay. Take
him. I love that he knows that. I love Dougie knowing this.
Dougie was in diapers that year, but he knows that.
But he was there. He actually was at the game. He was there.
Cell phones didn't exist, but he took a selfie with, you know. No, I'm kidding. Lots of inside jokes here. The audience isn't going to keep up on those. but imagine saying no to that ride, you know, if you're a Horace Grant type guy. So not that Scooble isn't more of a generational talent, because he is, but so I think that's going to happen. Maybe Breslow should take Rushman's temperature on it. And if not, you know, I mean, if he doesn't commit to him at catcher, be like, listen, this is probably Yoshida's last year, assuming there's a strike. We might need a DH. We don't know what Wilson is long-term. I mean, he's going to be, what, 35 next year? Something like that, 34, 35 at least. You know, if you sign Rushman to a 5 or 6 year deal, and I think that gets it done, you know, then, well, you kind of added value to what you did today.
Yeah, I do think an extension is probably likely. I don't think you give up that many players in that kind of package if you didn't already have it in the back of your mind that, okay, you know, we're going to give this guy a 4 or 5 year contract and he's going to be our guy behind the plate, you know, going forward. I think Rushman's too good defensively to take him out of that spot. It's just a matter of, can he hold up there health-wise? But if he gets the wrist thing sorted out, he should be good to go. The point about Marcelo Meyer's a good – or not Marcelo Meyer, excuse me. Jaren Duran is a good one, because it feels like there's three reasons why he's still here. The first is obviously that his value must be so low that they were calling around and teams were going, yeah, I mean, we'll give you a player to be named later, but that's about it. I think the second reason is that the Red Sox kind of have what feels like a FOMO thing with Duran, where they feel like if they trade him away, he's going to go back to what he was last year or even 2024, and they're going to miss out on him flipping the switch. Like, I think there's a part of that organization that feels like that player is still in there. We just have to find a way to unlock him, and we don't want to trade him to like the White Sox or Houston or San Diego or whatever and watch him go off and do it there. We'd rather keep him here and hope that someone gets through to him. Maybe now the deadline's gone and he feels reassured that he's not being traded. Maybe that puts his mind at ease. Maybe that helps him kind of, you know, get his head out of his rear end. And I also think the uncertainty around Roman Anthony led to that too, because yeah, he's starting to hit off a tee now, but Lou Maloney made a good point on a broadcast the other night where he said, you know, the problem with hand injuries is these guys have to wait until they get healthy enough to start swinging. And then they start taking like 100 swings a day. And because they just want to get back, and, you know, and sometimes all it takes is for one of those swings to go wrong and they're shut down again. It's like, so it's really hard to figure out and, you know, really project when Anthony is going to come back. You hope that it's soon. But again, if he hits a ball off the tee the wrong way and he irritates that finger, then they're going to shut him down for another week. And that's just more time that he's going to miss. So I think they looked at it and said, yeah, Duran isn't playing well right now, but would we rather have Nate Eaton starting full time in left field? I mean, maybe he gives you a better performance, but Duran has the potential to be a much better player. And I think that's why they're hanging on to him. So the shortstop concerns, I agree that that's frustrating, but I was encouraged to hear, you know, when Breslow was kind of listing off guys that can help at that position, he did mention Franklin Arias. Like, I do think there's a possibility we see Franklin Arias by September, and that he could be playing shortstop. And because I think that report about them not feeling good about Trevor Story is 100%. I think they look at Trevor Story and go, yeah, you're not the guy. If you come back, maybe you'll get some starts here and there, but I think they want to see what they got in Arias. I think that's why they didn't trade him. And I think that's why, you know, that's going to be the plan going forward, which I hope is the case. Cause I think if anything, that could be your big, you know, bat that you add from within, instead of having to, you know, trade, you know, Roman and Arias and whatever for like a CJ Abrams. I think they looked at it and said, well, we might have our own CJ Abrams in AAA right now. So hopefully that's what their thinking is. One thing I wanted to ask, because obviously we've talked about Rutschman, the other big trade, Marcelo Meyer going to San Francisco in exchange for Eric Miller. Red Sox also got a 21-year-old outfielder back in that trade. I forget his last name, Guerrero or something like that. So Marcelo Meyer gone. His time in Boston is done. Eric Miller is now added to your bullpen. Charlie, I know you like this guy because you sent me that video of him striking out Sal Stewart and barking him down. So how do you feel about the deal?
Oh, I'm warm and fuzzy in all the right places. So you could take that for what it's worth. But you got a guy who strikes out Sal Stewart, who's another rookie playing for the Cincinnati Reds. And he's sick. We got to look it up. 6'5", 269. That's the not effing around crowd. That's two Charlies right there. So I use myself as a unit of measure of weight here. That's two Charlies. That's a lot of weight to be slinging around. But I also just kind of like that attitude. Like that, I mean, he. This is a guy that if he's kind of coming at you, you got him, you got Chapman, you have Wilson Contreras, you have Jaron Duran. You're going to have several voices that are not going to be afraid to let everybody know how they're feeling. I really do like this move, and you get rid of possibly, depending on how you feel, one of the problem children in Boston. Marcelo Meyer, Roman Anthony, there was some rumors going around that they weren't great clubhouse guys. Well, you just eliminated half the problem. Marcelo's now going west side. I'm cool with that. The other guy that we got in that move was Carlos Gutierrez. Not sure where he's going to fit into the long-term picture of the Boston Red Sox, but the big piece in this one was Eric Miller. You're getting another fire, flame-throwing guy from the left side to accompany Aroldis Chapman, and this wasn't a net negative trade. You didn't get rid of something to get something in the sense of, oh yeah, we're getting rid of something good because for the sake of making a trade. No, you improved your bullpen, which was an area of need. You got rid of a potential headache, regardless of how you feel. Some people viewed it. Some people did not. The experiment in Boston was not working out. The injuries did not go away. We never saw a fully healthy Marcelo Meyer. And maybe we will. And years down the line, we'll go, oh, man, well, now this is what he looks like when he's healthy. Or we're going to see what happens when another team has to try to deal with it. Maybe they can fix the headache that is Marcelo Meyer. But me personally, another win, left-handed thrower, flamethrower with an attitude, and not a bad one. I'm sure he's going to just mold right into the Boston fold here. So no complaints from me.
Yeah, anytime you can make your bullpen better, I think that's a good move. And you see every World Series team has a great bullpen. You know, it always is just a backbone of a great World Series team. And you're giving away a guy that I think we all kind of were ready to give away. And if what all the rumors are, you know, I don't really like the, he's a bad influence on Roman. He's taking Roman out. Roman's a grown man. Like if he's going out and getting hammered all the time, let's not, you know, blame other people for that. Let's, you know, but you know, if they said they needed them split up, then they needed them split up. And obviously you choose Roman. And you get rid of Meyer, and to bring in, you know, a lefty flamethrower, like you said, is, you know, it's only going to help us. There was stories about Whitlock feeling tired, and you know, now we replace, you know, not replace him, but now we just add, you know, give him help with another, you know, another really good back end guy that is absolutely going to help our team and helps your team in the playoffs tremendously. And Meyer was not going to do that. And, you know, my question now, more even about the trade, is Roman going to come back quicker than we thought now that Meyer is gone? Were they really splitting them up? You know, is he going to be rushed back now? Is he going to be back next week or the week after? know, I think that's something to watch out for.
Hey, Terry, before you give your take, I just want to let you know he has that sexy stat that you love. His canine almost went up 200% from last year to this year. Last year, an unhealthy 6.6. This year, 12.4. In two more innings, he has 23 more strikeouts. Go ahead.
That sounds awesome, but, you know, we have a great bullpen. You know, you've got Guerrero, Slayton, Whitlock, and Chapman. I've never seen a bullpen that deep, even in the World Series years. Okay. It's great to add a reliever to that, but we have talked recently about the sustainability of the current rotation. Tolley and Bennett are about to blow well past their previous innings pitched, which is around 100. I think Tolley might be 104, so he'll exceed that in his next start. So, I mean, I think a back end arm, you know, I wouldn't set the bar necessarily high for that, but acquire a guy that will allow you to be inserted into that rotation. And maybe you can skip a couple of Tolley starts just to give him some rest, give him a breather. Same with Bennett. And, you know, I much rather would have allocated the resources for that. Marcelo Meyer blew it big time. In Boston, he couldn't stay healthy. I think he lacked toughness. He lacked discipline. You know, he kind of looked at it as a party, and you know, when he really needed to be a professional. Could you imagine Mookie Betts, Sander Bogaerts, you know, Andrew Benintendi going out in the day just every night and not performing? Can you imagine? Just look at the level of unprofessionalism here from Meyer. And, you know, Doug says, well, don't blame Meyer for Roman Anthony screwing around. And that's true, but I love the message it sends to Anthony. If you're not a professional here.
Yeah, I agree.
We'll find someone who is. So I like that, but it was another wonky kind of deal where I think Meyer did have value, and you probably could have. I can't think of an example of a back end guy at the moment. You know, a lot of people brought up Michael Wacha. I think he does have significant trade value, and we probably wouldn't have lined up on that. But I think by the time the playoffs come, we're really going to be missing Connolly early. I really believe that.
Yeah, starting pitching depth, you know, would have been nice to add a little bit there because you're right about Tolley. You know, that's going to come back to bite them at some point. They did trade away a lot of their starting pitching depth. So that is something to keep an eye on. They're going to have to restock that now. But, you know, it's one of those things where hopefully, you know, who knows with Crochet. He's probably not coming back at this point. They may feel like they still have enough, even with Tolley coming up, you know, with that sort of innings thing, you know, lurking a little bit. So, yeah, you can definitely say a starter would have been nice. But again, what were the prices? I mean, you know, I haven't checked in on what the Padres gave up for Casey Mize, but I think even if he had traded for a guy like that, do I love Casey Mize? Yeah, he's fine. He's good. But do I think he would have worked in Boston? Probably not. You know, I think the Angels were asking for a haul for Jose Soriano. I think they did get that. So again, it depends on what the prices were. If teams were saying, you know, Arias has to be in the deal or Anthony's got to be in the deal, then, you know, I kind of don't blame Craig for saying, no, we're not doing that. You know, we have good starting pitching already. It's not something that we absolutely need. It's a nice to have, but it's not a necessity. The necessity was a bat, which he got. I think bullpen was a necessity. So he went out and got that. You know, he tried with Curtis Meade. I mean, that one kind of got taken out of his hands. So that was a tough blow. And yeah, in terms of Marcelo Meyer, he really did blow his opportunity here. And you can tell the team was done because they publicly buried him. I mean, there were reports coming out saying, yeah, there are people within the Red Sox who question his fortitude. I mean, you don't say that about a player and then hang on to him. So the fact that they said that and then shipped him out for a relief pitcher, I mean, that was the Red Sox saying, this kid doesn't get it. He is not a professional. You know, yeah, he was a first round pick 4 years ago, but we're done waiting. We're done waiting for Marcelo to grow up. And so have fun in San Francisco. Like that's the message I think they sent. And I agree with Terry. Like, I like the message it sends to Roman Anthony too. Like, you know, you're not protected here. Just because you were, you know, you shot through our system and you're, you know, really talented and you're this, you know, high draft pick, all that, we will ship your ass out of town if you don't get in shape here and if you don't get your head out of your ass. So, you know, whether Meyer and Anthony needed to be split up, I think it was still the right thing to do that just because of the message it sends, not just to Anthony, but to all these kids, you know, even like a Franklin Arias, like you still have to work. You still got to put the work in. Like nothing is promised to you. So I think they got a little more mature because of that. And I like Eric Miller's profile. I think the only thing you could really say is the walk rate is a little bit high. That's the only thing I'm a little bit concerned about. But otherwise, he's another one of these big lefties that throws hard, has good extension. So I think ultimately it's going to be value add for sure. So do you guys have any other final thoughts? I think we've pretty much covered all those. I know the Eli White trade was kind of a weird, just that felt like a throw-in deal. But, you know, he'll be a depth outfielder, I guess. And I know they said that that's for the benefit of Sadon to give him some days off. So we'll see what happens there. But any final thoughts from you guys?
Dave Roberts was a throwaway trade, you know?
True.
Was he a throwaway trade? We brought him in for one job. It was to steal bases if we needed that.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, you know, it was, you know, maybe that's what they're bringing this guy for. He's a speedster. So maybe we need someone, you know? You never know when you need a bag.
So this is my thing. So real quick on that, Dougie. I feel like if you're going to bring on somebody that is just wheels, like just straight wheels, it's because you've already plugged up all your holes. And that's the one condition, one situation. You have one job, and he was there for that job, and he did his job. I don't know if it necessarily makes sense if you possibly still have maybe holes. Maybe I'm missing something. Maybe there is something else to him that I just don't know. I'm still going to look him up and find out. But I will say this much for closing thoughts. We are a better team now than we were before. It still sucks that we don't have Conley early here anymore. I understand that. But we do have a couple of reasons to be positive. I think the overall trajectory of this team is now going in a positive direction. We will end up continuing this role. Is it going to be, you know, 15-game win streaks again? Probably not. But, I mean, dude, you don't accidentally win against the best team in baseball and then sweep them for their eighth straight series win. So I'm going to ride the high. Terry, you and I, before the air, we talked about this morning, the American League is not as difficult. It's not as hard. It's not as crazy. We're now 5 games out of being in first place in the American League. A month ago, we were the worst team in baseball. Or maybe a little bit more than that. So I don't know. I'm going to choose to be a little bit positive myself. Just say, dude, it's going to be awesome. Like if we end up beating the Yankees and taking them out, like you've already said it, they're a dumpster fire. They're just crashing.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, I was just kind of looking around the American League, seeing who did what. The Tampa Bay Rays got Freddie Peralta today. Very nice rotation piece there. The Cleveland Guardians seem to be really busy. Did they get Joe Adele? It looks like they did.
They did. They got Joe Adele.
Yeah, they added, they made a big trade with the Nationals, and I want to say they added one more. The Houston Astros, I noticed they got Dalton Varsho. That's a great ballpark for him. Perhaps, you know, he'll look a little different there. White Sox seem to have a lot of, you know, big plans, but they ended up with Joey Bart and Brenton Doyle, which I think kind of misses the mark. I don't think they really got a ton better. They added depth, I guess. And then who am I forgetting? Let's see. I think that was about it for the real notable moves in the American League. Some teams got worse, but it was National League teams they traded to. So, but yeah.
So I'm looking at it right now. They got Foster Griffin and they got our former first baseman, Nathaniel Lowe. That's who else they added. And he's actually not doing that bad this year. The Guardians did.
Okay.
Foster, isn't that the, like, the 30-year-old? Isn't that guy the one who showed up at the – he was at the All-Star game? Isn't that guy from the Nationals? He's, like, 30 years. Yeah. He had a fun little story during the All-Star game. They're talking about how he was out of baseball for, like, what, 5 years or 6 years, and then he came back, and he's been a star in 2026. Oh, could be interesting. They could be fun. Like the Guardians.
3.06 ERA. Strikes out way less than one per inning, though. So, but the Guardians are kind of one of the better pitching factories in Major League Baseball. So perhaps they'll find some extra strikeouts. But I don't think anyone, you know, really tore it up on the American League side. So we'll see. I mean, arguably, maybe the Red Sox did do the best of them all. I still thought we had a great bullpen as it was. And I don't know why you couldn't get like a George Springer type guy from Toronto, you know, put Meyer in that deal, you know, get Springer as a rental, make him your DH type thing. But anyway, I wished we added more, but.
Well, we'll see what those additions are able to do. So season gets back underway tomorrow night. The White Sox are in town. So the new look White Sox, I don't know if Brenton Doyle will be on the roster by that point, but we'll see. So tomorrow night, 7:10 start. It's Davis Martin for the White Sox. No one listed for the Red Sox just yet. So it looks like they haven't set their rotation. Davis Martin having a good year, but Red Sox roughed him up last time. They played really well against him. So Charlie, I'll start with you. How do you feel about tomorrow night? You're on mute.
I tried to get myself off. Sorry. On ESPN, it says that Sandoval's pitching. I actually want to believe that the Red Sox will win game one. I know I sound like the Cinderella Charlie here, but dude, if it ain't broke right now, don't fix it. And right now, this team keeps rolling. So I don't know how the White Sox are going to look. We don't know if they're going to be having the additions added in the game. Do we know if he's playing tomorrow? We don't know yet. I'm sure he'll be in the lineup. We'll see. But you know what? I'm going to say this. I think the Red Sox win game one. Why the heck not?
Yeah, I agree. We keep this train rolling. We're, you know, we're coming home. We're feeling good. We're going to get that home record, you know, looking better. And we're going to start this series, you know, with to get another – you know, to get our ninth series in a row, winning the first game is huge. And I think they do it.
Well, we know Adley Rutschman won't be in the lineup tomorrow, but Chicago's been playing pretty good ball. They just they just took two out of three.
Had to throw that in there.
Yeah, well, I'm waiting to hear about the setback news with the wrist, but we got a bunch of guys with wrist problems. But so White Sox won the Tampa series, split with the Yankees series before that. So they're playing okay ball. It'll be at Fenway. So we'll see. I think we'll probably have Sonny Gray go, game two or three, something like that. He'll be in this series. So, yeah, not a lot. I don't see why we won't win it, right? I mean, just someone will step up. Maybe Rafael will win this one all on his own.
Yeah, no, I feel pretty good about it. Like I said, they roughed up Davis Martin last time, so I don't see why there's any reason they can't do it again. I think Red Sox are playing really good baseball right now. I know the White Sox are too, but I mean, you're coming off a sweep of the Dodgers. I mean, that's, you know, that's nothing to sneeze at. So yeah, I think they're riding a high right now. I think they probably feel pretty good after today and after the moves that were made. I think some guys are kind of taking a breather, like Jaron Duran probably feels pretty good that he wasn't traded. So, you know, keep riding the wave, and we'll see how the White Sox series goes. So we will be back on the air tomorrow night after that.